Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the editor of Global Gaming Business, and this week we interview Scott Barber, the president of Harrah's Atlantic City, on the developments at his property during the past 3 years. Barber has directed a massive expansion project that will make Harrah's the largest hotel in the state of New Jersey once the current hotel tower under construction opens in 2008. The most recent development, a spectacular dome pool, makes the property one of the must-see attractions in Atlantic City today. He spoke with me about these expansions and other issues facing the city at his offices in Atlantic City in early July. Scott Barber, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here, and we've been looking forward to talking to you for quite some time. You've done a great job here at Harrah's. You've been here for, what, 3 years now?
It'll be 3 years beginning of August.
Okay, great. Tell us the shape the property was in when you first got here, because so much has changed since then.
Well, I think it's a great property. It's Harrah's Atlantic City opened in November of 1980, although the building just looked a little dated, I guess is the best way I would describe it, and that is a lot of seafoam green and aqua blues,
and
it was just ready for an update, and we set out on this mission actually a couple months before I even started here. I was still in our Iowa location, started working on the master plan of this facility, starting with the casino floor renovation and the introduction of the exhibition bar, and it's been a little over 3 years in the making, and we're proud to say we're just about done here with the casino floor and into phase two of the expansion.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about the various expansion projects, because you've been through, what, three of them now since you came on?
We have. The master plan expansion here comes in three phases. Mm-hmm. The phase one was the opening of the new waterfront buffet and the retail stores, seven retail stores in total. And that opened on, again, President's Day of this year. Phase two was the indoor pool and entertainment complex and the Elizabeth Arden Red Door Spa. That opened on Memorial Day weekend. And then phase three will open in February of 2008, which is the 962-room tower and some additional dining options. There'll be a Taste of the Shore food court and a new 24-hour cafe.
Mm-hmm. Now, the tower will be much taller than anything else you've got here.
Be 44 stories of hotel rooms, three stories of non-hotel rooms, so a total of 47 stories, almost double the size of the Bay Tower that was added to the property in May of 2002. It'll be the tallest room tower in Atlantic City, about 80 feet taller than the Borgata and about 50 feet taller than the Taj Mahal.
Okay. And how many rooms will that give you total when it opens?
Just shy of 2,600. The property's currently 1,630 rooms, and we're adding 962, so it'll be just shy of 2,600.
Okay. Let's talk about the latest expansion, the pool at Harrah's. It's a very innovative idea. There's been, it gives the hotel a true resort feel year-round. How has that worked out so far, and what do you anticipate in the depths of the winter season?
The pool so far, and we're about a month into it at this point, has exceeded our wildest expectations, and I think it's truly delivered for us what we set out to do, and that is create a true entertainment complex. Mm-hmm. It's just not a pool.
Right.
And we've opened it up to swimming for our hotel guests in the daytime, and then we've hosted various events in the evenings. For example, we had a celebrity chef event here that was just spectacular a few weeks ago with four different chefs throughout the country. A couple of them are from the Food Network. A couple of them have restaurants in our Las Vegas properties. And then we turn it into an altar lounge Wednesday through Saturday nights, and then also have a luau dinner show in the pool on Sunday. So it shows the diversity of what we can do with that facility.
Mm-hmm. So you actually use it as meeting space as well, then?
We do. We absolutely. The entire pool complex is actually on the menu for sale if there's a group large enough to come get it.
Okay. The reaction from the guests, are they just amazed by it?
It's fun to stand there. I think depending on how our business goes with all the other issues that we're faced with on a daily basis, if you want to feel good about what you've been able to accomplish, you go stand at the entrance of the pool and see everybody's jaw drop, and you hear words like "wow" and "incredible" and nothing like it. So it's a lot of fun to see the reaction of the customers.
I was talking to some people when we were there for the opening of the Billy Joel Moving Out show, and people were telling me this has become a real must-see attraction now in Atlantic City. Is that some of the impression that you've gotten as well?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that we're hearing, in fact, I've gotten word from many different markets that the word is out and the buzz is as far-reaching as Manhattan and as far south as Florida. In fact, even some of our competitors, the Atlantis, was well aware of our pool, and out west certainly as well. It's the talk of the gaming industry right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you maxed out now for expansion projects? Is there some more land available, or are you pretty much done?
No, we absolutely have master planned the property for long term. I think, you know, as we look at a 5 to 10 year plan, we can add at least two more hotel towers to this property and meeting space.
Okay.
And all of that is planned out.
Okay. What kind of meeting space do you have now? I know that's a big big issue these days.
Sure. Yeah, very limited. We have a ballroom up on the third level here, just above the casino floor, and it's about 15,000 square feet. So, you know, when you consider that, you know, 1,630 rooms a day, almost 1,000 coming in the future, we certainly need to grow our meeting room capacity, and you'll see us probably do so in the next couple of years.
Okay. Now, you know, your closest neighbor is the Borgata, and they, of course, are building a new tower, the Water Club, and there seems to be – you seem to be one-upping each other here. Do you feel that you it's necessary to keep up with them?
Not necessarily to keep up with them as much as let's create something that really appeals to our core customer, which is that baby boomer generation.
Right.
And we spent a lot of time and money doing research to understand what that – the needs and the wants of that customer are compared to our original customers when this building was created back in 1980, which is now the mature audience.
Sure.
And there's very different needs and wants in what they're looking for overall in a resort experience here. So we set out to build what was going to meet our core customers. And our core customer here will always be that 45 to 65-year-old female slot customer. Can we dabble in table games? Can we dabble in some nightlife entertainment? Absolutely. But our core focus will never change here at this Harrah's property.
Okay. So that's the customer that really has been your strength for many, many years.
Then. Absolutely. It's our bread and butter, and you know, we'll continue to do so.
You know, I've seen this property grow since 1980, starting with the Better People campaign and subsequent campaigns after that, the Other Atlantic City, I think they called it at one point. And it seems like the customers here are more loyal than the customers at a typical Atlantic City casinos. Is that something that you would agree with?
Absolutely. After 3 years here, I guess the way I would assess it is – our location. We're not a location that's easily accessible to get out and walk to your neighbor, even though the Borgata is next door to our right and Trump Marina to our left. It's not anywhere near as short of a walk as it may appear, especially in different weather elements. Second reason, I think, is due to some of the amenities we've added to the property over the year. And when you think about our atrium tower, for example, that was opened up in the late 80s, that was an Embassy Suite-style all-suite tower, 256 rooms. Harrah's Atlantic City was the first property in Atlantic City to offer suites to a slot customer, and that really developed our core slot audience and has stayed with us ever since.
Yeah. And I think this audience doesn't visit other casinos as frequently. I think the average Atlantic City visitor is about 2.3 casinos they go to when they come down, but that must not be the case with your customers.
Right, yeah, it's much less than two. And again, I think that speaks to the power of what our company stands for. Some of our brands, like Total Rewards, for example, our loyalty program, and our core customer service focus.
No question. Another hallmarks of this property has been the easy parking, and certainly was in the beginning when parking was very difficult, and great buffets. Do you really put extra effort into those areas to make sure that those are still your strengths?
We absolutely do, and I think, though, you know, the one thing I would say is, as our parking garage, which has, again, been here since day one, can accommodate up to 2,400 cars, it's now kind of not necessarily in the center of the building anymore as the building continues to expand. But absolutely, ease of parking, easy access to and from the property, and then having a great food product overall is absolutely a staple of what we try to do. And the new buffet is just another example of that.
Yeah, I haven't taken it in yet, but I understand it's really spectacular. Retail is a new development here at Harrah's. You haven't really tried that before. What are your expectations of this element?
Well, what we wanted to, again, this is where we wanted to match up what our customer expectations were with a product that we had to offer. We decided to actually operate these,
That's fine.
Okay. We decided to operate the retail stores on our own, and we set out to put together seven different concepts. They've been extremely successful since the day we opened. Again, if you benchmark yourself against the greatest retail operation in the United States, which is the Forum Shops in Las Vegas, I think at $1,300 per square foot, our retail stores, while they're not doing anywhere near that, they're certainly probably about 1.5 to 2 times greater than the average mall in the country. Mm-hmm. So they've been extremely well received and have done extremely well financially since we opened them.
Okay. So are these facilities owned by Harrah's, or have you you lease them out?
No, we do own and operate every store. Okay. That's right. Every store is brand name merchandise, and we own and operate.
Okay. Well, not only are your customers loyal, but also your employees. You have hundreds of day one employees. I know we've done stories on the people who've been loyal here for so long. What do you do to keep them happy and secure in their environment here?
Yeah, it's part of our what we call our overall service profit chain, and the first link on that chain is employee satisfaction. And we have several ways that we either formally or informally ensure that our employees are satisfied. But it starts with just providing a great workplace and making sure that they're comfortable, that we eliminate any barriers that they may encounter, and make sure they have the right resources and tools to do their job effectively and efficiently. It's great. I mean, I'm proud to say that we've got about 12% of our workforce that are day one employees here. So, I mean, that's, that have been here for 27 years this November, and they are extremely happy.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of loyalty, not only from the day one employees, but people who work here. Do you do anything different than some of the other casinos in terms of things to keep them happy?
We do. I just had all employee meetings. We typically do that a couple times a year, and we actually usually show illustrations as to some of the things we do differently. Mm-hmm. And the example that I just gave the employees this past week in the all employee meetings is every year we have an annual anniversary celebration dinner where we celebrate 5, 10, 15, 20, 25-year employees. And we do a great dinner. It's usually filet and lobster tail. Mm-hmm. It's a great band, dinner dancing, open bar. And then we also give prize money away as well, and then some kind of commemorative gift to each and every one of the employees that celebrates those anniversary benchmarks. And one of the stories is that one of the girls that was celebrating her 15-year anniversary had her husband that works for a competitor in town, and he came over and he said, "This is unbelievable, the party." And he said that our anniversary dinner is hot dogs and hamburgers in the parking lot. So I think that kind of shows the investment that we make back into the employees here compared to some of our competitors in town. And this was a large competitor.
Looking for the most informative weekly publication in the gaming industry? Subscribe to Global Gaming Business Weekly, the only electronic news magazine that brings the news of the gaming industry to your desktop every Monday morning. Global Gaming Business Weekly is a complete publication with information on the gaming industry in the U.S., Europe, Asia, and beyond. Read about the latest moves in Indian gaming, the updated research about problem gaming, the breaking news that will impact everyone in the gaming industry, all in one publication. Global Gaming Business Weekly is read by all the top executives in the gaming industry before they start their work week. Shouldn't you? To subscribe, go to the Global Gaming Business website, www.ggbmagazine.com. Click on the Global Gaming Business Weekly icon. Don't be the last to know. Read Global Gaming Business Weekly every Monday morning. Mentioned that you dabble in table games and things like that. Poker is such a big issue, and I know you've expanded your poker room here a couple of times. Is that an important part of your marketing plan for your customers?
It is. As much of a full service casino experience that we can create, that's really what we're going to set out to do. We do not have the best or the largest poker room in town, but what we have to our advantage is the World Series of Poker brand, and we're able to do monthly, quarterly tournaments. We host one circuit event at least per year here. We were the original location of the circuit event to kick that off in our company, and we've now hosted three of them since then, and we'll continue to do so. Poker has been a great product for us, and we continue to see growth into the near future with this product.
Okay. Let's talk about how you work together with some of the other Harrah's properties. Certainly the Total Rewards card enables you to share customers on an equitable basis. How has that been working for you here?
It's done extremely well. In fact, it's worked so well, we ran into distribution problems, and I think that was the genesis of our Total Rewards shuttle, that we couldn't get customers to and from our properties quick enough.
Right.
And so we wanted to create the shuttle access to really create that second and third stop option for our customers, and it certainly opened up that opportunity. And even to back up, before we had completed the Caesars acquisition with Harrah's and Showboat, we had a large percentage of customers that would cross-visit the two properties because some of our core customers wanted a boardwalk experience and the boardwalk customers wanted a marina experience. And then when we acquired and closed on the Caesars and Bally's deal, once the Total Rewards was fully integrated, the numbers are just staggering.
Yeah. So it makes more sense for them now to visit the boardwalk properties because you still have them within the company.
Sure, and not only, if you look at this as two different properties in the past where they, let's just use a $50 customer, for example. If they spend $50 at Harrah's and $50 at Bally's, neither knew each other. Now they're a $100 customer to us. So their value of the rewards went up dramatically, almost, you know, double.
Sure, absolutely. Let's talk about the Marina District as a distinct area of Atlantic City. Are the customers of the Marina properties different than a Boardwalk customer?
I can only speak probably on behalf of Harrah's. And again, I think you referenced earlier the Better People Place and this whole look and feel. I think, you know, as the buzz around town in my 3 years here is that Harrah's has always kind of been the wine and the cheese crowd or the country club of Atlantic City, and it does have that kind of feel to it. I've never worked on the Boardwalk. I'm certainly over there a lot at our sister properties, and I would just tell you that we don't have the critical mass that's generated on Boardwalk property. So customers that come here are truly intending to come here. They don't walk in by happenstance. You know, this was truly their destination. So I think there is a little bit of a difference in the clientele here.
Sure. In terms of the Boardwalk clientele from your company, are they more loyal? They're more apt to stay here. They just visit the Boardwalk, you know, on occasion. How's that different?
Yeah, we absolutely do see a longer length of stay at the Harrah's property. Again, I think that's location driven. That it's not easily accessible to walk in and out of this property and onto to the neighbor next door. So typically, the average length of stay, the time played on device, is longer here than it is at our sister properties.
Sure. Well, you've got a great property here. It certainly is equivalent to Borgata in terms of what you have to do when you come to the Marina District. But let's talk about the entire development of this district. Obviously, I think you probably would agree the key to the district is MGM Mirage with their huge project that they want to build adjacent to Borgata there. Are you looking forward to that when that comes to
Oh, sure, through? Sure. I think that as we can continue to evolve this market and add more of a resort product, add more hotel rooms to increase the overall length of stay of the customers that come to Atlantic City, everybody's going to win.
Right.
You know, even as we looked at our expansion, we said we're looking for a tide that's going to lift all boats. As you know, we're applauding the Borgata's expansion with 800 more rooms coming, and you know, the facility that they've already completed on the ground level space. The more investment into Atlantic City is only going to help the market.
Is there discussions about, you know, making this a unified district where you might have shuttle buses going between all the properties at some point?
There are some covenants in some of the land agreements here that says if indeed MGM builds, that we would find a way to connect the properties together in the Marina District. And again, I think that would be explored once anything formally is announced and construction is underway.
Well, actually, there's a really nice walkway along the water, you know, between
it's again, it's a great
walkway. It's not close,
if
you could develop that, you know, along with the property that MGM develops, that'd be spectacular.
Yeah, so it's probably one of the most beautiful jogging trails or walking trails in all of Atlantic City, and it's very underutilized because not a lot of people are aware it's even back there.
Yeah, no question. And Trump Marina, obviously, you know, a smaller property now, but there's that land that MGM owns adjacent to that. Would you like to see that developed into something more?
Yeah, I think that the Marina location, if you were to include that MGM parcel, I think that's probably the best parcel of land in all of Atlantic City.
Yeah.
I think it's a piece of land that would give you the advantage of having both a marina and a beach potentially, and you know, just reorienting the property around. But it's spectacular, and again, it would be great for the city to see that land develop.
Yeah, absolutely. Any thoughts of Harrah's buying that? I mean, that with the bridge there, I mean, maybe do a flyover over the bridge?
I would absolutely love for our company to get involved with that parcel of land. I just think we have, you know, much bigger plans on the horizon here for our company here in Atlantic City and elsewhere throughout the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What kind of support do you get from corporate for your efforts here? Obviously, you know, Gary Loveman thinks this is a tremendous property, and I think when the revenue rolls in, he likes to see the numbers that you guys produce here. But are they totally behind everything you're doing here?
Oh, absolutely. We wouldn't be doing what we were doing if we didn't have the support of the entire senior management and leadership team of the company and all the resources that go along with that, our marketing efforts and, you know, our IT efforts, you know, our operational efforts. I mean, it's been a fun project to be involved with here as we've really taken this property to the next level. To this date, this is the largest single capital expenditure our company has had in any of its legacy properties.
Yeah.
So it's been a fun project to be involved with.
No question. Now, we've been hit with some competition from Pennsylvania and New York in the last few months. Experts expected Harrah's to be hit, you know, worse than some of the other properties because it's so dependent on slot play. But that hasn't necessarily been the case. Why do you think that has happened?
Well, again, I back up to, 3 years ago, we set out and looked at the competitive landscape and said what's going to be changing in the next 5 to 10 years. And clearly regional competition was, the number one item for us to address on our list. And that was both the slot parlors in Pennsylvania, slots at tracks in New York, and some potential other regional, properties that were going to potentially spring up, like Rhode Island, which didn't come to fruition. But there's locations like that. So what we, again, the amenity mix that we created here was to insulate us from any of this regional competition. And so far, knock on wood, through the first 6 months of this year, we've held our ground.
Yeah. What are your numbers here? I mean, I know you've lost a little bit, but
yeah, year to date we're up about 4.5%. Market's down about 5.5%. Right. So you can see it's about a 10-point swing.
Mm-hmm. So you're very pleased then with it, the way you
we are, and especially the cash business that we've been able to drive into the property as a result of the new amenities.
Mm-hmm. Has it helped having one of those properties up in Pennsylvania is a Harris property, being able to track who's going where and that kind of thing?
Absolutely has. Yeah. And again, it's another sister property that's in our backyard, so we've been able to develop new business with it and also increase the number of trips with known customers as well.
Absolutely. I just have really one more question, and it really goes to what we just talked about. What do you think Atlantic City is headed? Are we going in the right direction? Do you think in 5 or 10 years it's going to be the premier gaming destination on the East Coast?
Absolutely. I think, as long as this investment continues to come into town with the Revel site and MGM Land, as you mentioned, next door, some of the other boutique properties that have been discussed over the last 12 months, the Pinnacle site with the Sands, again, this could really transition and transform this entire market into that regional destination that all of us are so excited about. Mm-hmm. And as you add these amenities, the express train that's going to be coming down, that's the partnership with us, Caesars, and Borgata, so it's another distribution channel for us to bring, 3,000 to 4,000 customers to the market each and every weekend that are brand new to the market. So again, the one thing that we're underserved in today is hotel rooms to house some of these customers.
Right.
And as you add hotel rooms, you're going to increase the length of stay. And as you increase the length of stay, you need more amenities and more attractions and other tools to keep the customers here and happy. And I think you're seeing that evolution right now with the expansion of the walk, with the introduction of the pier, with the Borgata's expansion, with Harrah's expansion. And again, I only look for bigger and better things to happen in this market over the next 5 years.
Obviously, the only fly in the ointment could be any kind of political roadblocks. And do you see that happening, or do you think the politicians in New Jersey are really understanding what's going on now?
I certainly hope so. I think that last year was a big wake up call for everybody, and I certainly hope we don't have to encounter something like that again to get the budgets correct in the state. And I'm not a politician; will never profess to be one, but I certainly we have a lot of mercy at their hands, and I hope that they understand that that this is the lifeline of South Jersey, this industry, and we're only going to continue to focus on getting bigger and better. And and that investment may shy away if they see any political uncertainty in the market.
Sure. Well, Scott Barber, thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Good luck with the new expansion projects, and we'll look forward to hearing about some new ones beyond that.
Very good. Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you for choosing the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn about any of the issues discussed on this show, go to our website at ggbmagazine.com or subscribe to the industry's most comprehensive newsletter, Global Gaming Business Weekly. We'll see you next week for another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast.